is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
See you live off the record with Zhivago Alliance, Nay's Pancake Place, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. Just so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well and had a wonderful weekend. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393. That's 4393043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So we're going to talk about the HIT factory today. The HIT factory today. What do I mean by that? We're going to talk about housing. Apparently there's a housing crisis. Inflation. We can talk about that today, and we can talk about Donald Trump, today. So we can talk about housing, inflation, and Mr. Trump, President Trump, hit today. We can hit today. So the IMF says that the Bahamas has a significant issue with housing. But that's the IMF. Others have said that in the field, but most of the people who have said that are either trying to get a home or in the business of building homes, and almost both tend to, not all, but tend to look to the government to solve this problem. So my question, when we say there's a housing crisis in the Bahamas, first of all, is there a housing crisis in the Bahamas, or is there a housing crisis on the island of New Providence and probably more so in the city of Nassau? What is the crisis? So that's the first thing. Is there a housing crisis in the Bahamas? Remember, we have 700 islands, we are told, and 2,000 keys, and I think 29 of those islands are inhabited. And so in case people don't know, New Providence is in the Bahamas, Grand Bahama is in Bahamas, Bimini, Abaco, Eleuther, Cat Island, Long Island, Exuma, Maykal, all of these are in the Bahamas. So is there a housing crisis on all of these islands? Therefore, a housing crisis in the Bahamas, a housing crisis on most of these islands? Or what? Okay, and then what is the nature of the crisis? What is the crisis exactly? Right? Like, so what is the crisis? Whenever we hear crisis, I mean, it invokes a state of alarm. It suggests that you're looking at a scenario that could go one way or the other in terms of better or worse. It's not good, right? it's like a significant, meaningful situation that poses some threat to someone, either people or some places or structures or something. So what is the housing crisis in the Bahamas, if you know? Somebody tell me. What is that crisis that poses a threat to some people in the Bahamas? What's the crisis? Is the crisis that people looking for housing, like a significant number of people looking for housing cannot find housing, therefore we have a massive number or a significant number of homeless people in the Bahamas? So people can't rent or they can't build, and so therefore they are homeless. Is that the crisis, that the actual finding of shelter, of housing, is too deficient for too many people, and that's the crisis? Is that the crisis? Or is, yes, most people have housing, in housing, but that is expensive for them. If that is expensive for them, is it expensive because of choice or because of other demands or calls on their resources, either obligatory or decided? Or is it that there is an unavoidable cost to the people of the Bahamas to house themselves? Is that the crisis? Or is the crisis, most people, lots of people who have rental units, but who aspire toward home ownership and wanted to own their own houses, they are unable to do so, and that's the crisis. Which one is the crisis, or is it all of those things? Or some of those things? What's the crisis? As I move about the Bahamas, and I don't see that. At least I see some, depending on how you define crisis, some elements of it in respect of cost of housing and the like in New Providence in particular. What is the crisis? Give me a call. Text me. 323-6232. Or you can call on 325-4316, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, or you can call from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. What is the crisis? Is there a crisis? Is there really a crisis? And what is the nature of that crisis? And is it a Bahamas-wide crisis, or is it a New Providence crisis? We got a call on the line. Go ahead, call.
Mr. Lang, how you doing? Sheldon Johnson.
I thought you would call because I know this is something you've been talking about for some while.
Yes. Okay.
Well,
let's say first, there's
two. See, Alan, I'm glad you called, but first of all, is there a housing crisis?
Yes, but that's why I want you to split the two, split some hairs with you, is because one could define both from a home ownership problem, and then there is a housing crisis on not just 29 or 30 inhabited island on that I am aware of for them.
Alan, what I don't want to do yet is this. Okay, so I wasn't the one introduced the notion of housing crisis. This is what the IMF is saying.
Yes.
Okay. Then you have others who are in the housing boom may have said so. Okay,
what I'm trying to figure out is what is the crisis.
Sorry,
it's an amalgamation of the multiple things you said, rather than a single definition of a housing crisis.
Okay, so you think it's all of those things? The fact that there are people who can't find housing, there are people who, when they find the housing, is too expensive for them, whether it's rental or home ownership, or the people who are looking to move out of rental into home ownership find that difficult. And you think that that is the case all over the Bahamas?
No, I said four islands.
Four islands. Okay.
Right. That I'm aware of.
New Providence, Grand Bahama,
Abaco, and Eleuthera.
You think Grand Bahama has a housing crisis?
Yes, I actually do. That's one of the areas that I would have because
what's the unique nature of the crisis in Grand Bahama? What's the nature of the crisis, the housing crisis in Grand Bahama?
Two things. One, homes practically unfit for habitation, and secondly, is that homes unavailability of homes for as people begin
you mean,
to exit.
You mean people are presently living in houses that are not fit for habitation?
Yes.
Large numbers, you think?
Significant numbers. What will be normal.
Wow. My eyes is be closed moving around this place, I swear.
If you remember now, Grand Bahama and Abaco, more specifically Abaco, have not recovered from the homes that was lost to Dorian. And so what you have is families that in respect to that. Now, this shouldn't be confused with a housing crisis because we face a homeless crisis.
Okay. So that's different. Okay, so...
Right, that's what I'm saying. But isn't the homelessness...
But hold on, we want people to be clear, man. I we have time. I'm not rushing you. To be clear. Okay? There are consolidations happening in terms of people living homes. To be honest with you, I know it's happening. The significance of it, I don't think it's like really out of whack, but it is happening. But it's driven, yes, in part because people lost their homes, but more fundamentally than that was the financial circumstances that undergirded it.
Yes.
So, for instance, this is important because if it's a personal financial situation undergirding that, looking to the government for that rescue, that's like shooting in the dark.
Yes, it is a form of shooting in the dark. But let me just insert this to you. Like, if you look at our housing survey from 10 years ago or 20 years ago and the current housing survey, that number has not grown in proportion to our population growth. Not you could say multifamily living together, except.
Yeah, but your population grew. The last census of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, your population was higher than the one it is now.
Which maybe in 2010?
Your population in 2000, 351,461. You now are 399,000.
Yes. I don't know the figures. I'm taking your word for those. Right. I was trying to pull up.
Those are the numbers. Right. About 389,000 or thereabouts.
Right. And so if you look at four person who should have been added to the housing thing, that's four people per household, like we normally like to say, then you'd should have had an addition of 13,000 homes in that amount of time. We don't.
Yeah, but all right. I mean, we don't know how much homes were added because me and you ain't looking at the housing completion numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up right now because my computer's coming on. Yeah. I just walk in the door.
Yeah. And I'm not denying that could happen. What I'm trying to get at is listen, we shouldn't use words gratuitously. I don't care if it's the IMF or not. And to suggest that something is in a crisis is not to suggest that it's not a problem. But crisis, like, this is and linger for 10, 15, 20 years.
More like from 1984, you mean, when Hubert, right, Alexander
but
Ingram.
No, when Ingram did his report, right, I don't think Ingram was trying to suggest that we have a desperate scenario of Bahamians being unable to find shelter to protect themselves, etc. He was speaking to the aspiration of a people desirous of home ownership, because that was his place, home ownership, right? And also to the element of people who are impoverished and in need of just basic housing, right? But I don't, I mean, we can't suggest we are still there.
Okay, let me just, this is what I have on my phone, okay? Yeah. definition of housing crisis. It occurs when there's a significant gap between demand for housing and the supply, which brings a
But what demand though? Because demand are several fold, right? There's rental demand and there
is this is what I was going to go to those sub things, which is the financial health, rapid urbanization, population growth. You know, it's a host of different things that have impact on that definition. And so, and so then it also factors in even places for homeless people to go to.
So you would agree, C. Allen, that rarely in truth, maybe all of us, when we use the word term, so housing crisis, aren't talking about the same things?
Right. See, yes, there's a definition of crisis, but the word crisis in its pure sense does not apply to the definition of housing crisis.
Listen, we really have a situation that's bad because so many people, one, need even rental accommodations, two, would love to be in their own homes, et cetera, which is a great aspiration for a country and so forth. And right now, we are not near being able to meet either the rest of those demands. That is true. That if you want to say that's critical or a crisis from an aspirational point of view, I wouldn't argue with that at all.
When we tell you my definition, I had a word in between housing and crisis for me. I had a housing affordability crisis. That's what I had. Beg your pardon?
All over?
Yes, I would say all over. And let me tell you why that reason would come in. Is that the cost of home ownership, even rentals and things have went up, and personal economies have not kept pace with that. And so if you are not already a home ownership with a locked in type thing over the last 20 years, you begin to face significant strain on your finances over the last 20 years in relation to
But you're living somewhere now, and if you're not in your own home, you're paying rent.
Yes,
and that's okay. Why so you are doling out money right now, and for the a person in a certain income bracket, their mortgage payment would have to be comparable, if not slightly higher, than their rent.
Yes, but in some circumstances, like Grand Bahama and Abaco, and now happening in Eleuthera, is that I would assume New Providence, because of this new incarnation of bed and breakfast, and that number has increased significantly in the marketplace, is that people are opting not to make individuals.
That's what the IMF was talking about mostly. The IMF is talking about the Airbnb squeezing the rental market to provide less opportunity for Bahamians to rent. Right.
And so, but if you look at even the current mortgage rates and the payments on a $200,000 house, it could run as high as $2,000. And so, if you use
you don't look at the dollar amount, because the dollar amount has to always be associated with your means to pay. You have to look at the rent, the interest rate, and the interest rates are lower today than they have been in decades.
Yes, but when you factor in the requirements of the bank for home insurance and life insurance, you would have to.
That's not a factoring in. That's a requirement. Why would I want to have a home and not have it insured?
No, I'm saying so. If I have a mortgage on it, you almost have to be in that middle class definition that your survey did.
Home ownership, like everything else, has a cost associated with it everywhere and anywhere. Depending on where you want to build, depending on where you want to buy, it's going to cost you something, right? I could go and buy a piece of property in some undeveloped portion of Grand Bahama, not Freeport, Grand Bahama, and pay much less for that piece of property than if I chose to do so in Lucayo on a canal, et cetera, and so forth.
Yes, in Freeport, non-waterfront property in Freeport will average about $25,000 to $30,000, and outside of Freeport, it could go as low as $5,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, so even in Nassau, you know, ain't nobody scrambling to go buy a piece of property. And even though it might be vacant down there over there, they got some. Not plenty, but they got some. You know, but many people ain't scrambling to go do that.
Right. But look at what, like, how you would look at the inner cities and stuff where there's no major construction has occurred in decades. So those homes are reaching what is called essentially end of life because maybe not even have been upkept. The problem I see is that we have this addiction to the conventional home ownership.
Yes, even exactly.
Even to the fact that, and I've been having some talking groups of people, is the fact that home ownership is not necessarily for everybody. And proper management of finances can put some people in a better position where they confuse housing with home ownership, where you have social housing or some form of, you know, housing regime. But somehow we believe that if I leave home, I need to have my own house, my own home. And I tell people all the time, housing and home ownership are two different things.
Yeah, and what we know from research is that people who live in a stable, owned home, raising their children, that on average, the children tend to fare better. We know that from research, right?
Yes.
But they say that's from home ownership, but I'm with you. It's from stable housing,
yes,
right? It's from decent housing. So for instance, if, you know, what our mindset says about home ownership is that I own this piece of property, I have this building on it that's mine, or I'm mortgaged and I'm going to pay for it over 20, 25, 30 years, and it'll become mine. But if I had that same situation, but I was renting and could comfortably rent for the rest of my life, I could have the same scenario, except that my ego and my pride and all the knowledge and cultural influences tell me that, you know, you are a slave because you're paying rent.
Right. And believe it or not, lying, that is a problem where I encounter with people here when people say, you know, my brother and I, we buy real estate, but let's look at it as a standalone. And they go, why do you rent? And I says, because what I got was a long-term contract, that 10-year contracts. I agreed to a 10-year contract, right? And so what I did is that provided me a particular stability that even as the market fluctuate, my position didn't. And it was just something that I learned from living in the U.S. as the host of market changes. Let me give you one example of that. When we were fighting to develop the city of Miami Gardens, we had rent control or different makeups of buildings where you say you agree to put one-third of your apartments or certain amount of your apartments for tax concessions and whatever. And a relative was staying in one of those rent control things. And at the time we were doing those things when I left the U.S. 20 plus years ago, I really thought 20 years was a long time, And so guess what, 20 years has passed. And the position they were in from $700, after the expiration of those agreements last year, the landlord wanted $1,700 for the same apartment.
But the reality is on strict, and we're going to take a break now, but on strict financial calculations, unless you do the calculations, it is not reasonable to simply say, or better, it's better or more affordable, financially better to own a home versus renting. That's absolutely true. You have to do calculations.
Every single person, because very few people make identical salary and have identical financial circumstances. And so it has to be a personal evaluation as to whether or not that individual is better off owning or renting with a financial management management plan in place. And that's why the whole housing crisis thing is not as straightforward.
Well, I'm not prepared to use the word yet. I'm not prepared to use that term. I know, I'm not ready for it. I just think they're politically dynamic words. You know what I mean? They're words that people use to kind of eye catch. You know, they're good for media and stuff. But I think the crisis is different than that, but driving that.
Right. But
we have a personal financial crisis in the Bahamas.
Right, and this is why I said again, you and I are on the same page. We have a I call it personal economy crisis, with individuals leading to this so-called redefine or perception of a housing crisis. Because if the financial crisis, the personal financial crisis, is solved with individuals, the housing crisis goes away. Or the housing
They'll find their own housing because they'll call on the people who develop and so forth and so forth. But thank you, man. I appreciate you calling.
You have to go to your break, but just to let you know is that a group of us is in the process of preparing a separate household survey to answer that same questions you're asking, the dynamics of how it is on individuals in the full home and whatever else. And then hopefully I could definitely be able to get back with you in another month or less to have that conversation.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
We go into this. We go into this. Gonna get them pancakes, waffles, omelets, ribs, breakfast sandwich, love the taste. Try our French, don't stuff your face. Come to Nez Pancake, please. We go into Nez. Yes, we go into Nez. Woo! Gonna eat that chicken and fries, pot and rice, juicy burgers, taste some chicken wings. Come and try all we things.
Nez Pancake Place, located behind Sunshine Laundromat on Settlers Way. Call 351-5456 to place your order today.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Are you ready to elevate your day with a burst of flavor? Look no further than Dunkin', your ultimate destination for everything delicious. From our freshly brewed coffee that is sure to pick you up, to our signature frozen beverages that will cool you down. And don't forget our mouth-watering sandwiches made to order all day. Dunkin' has it all. And of course, our lineup of fresh donuts, muffins, and more. Dive into a world of yummy flavors at Dunkin' and bring joy to your day. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Lang. How are you?
Right here, man. How are you?
Good. I'm cool, man. Listen to me. Are you talking about a housing problem?
No, I'm saying the IMF says there's a housing crisis. Others have said there's a housing crisis. That's what I'm talking about.
Only Bahamian has a housing crisis in the Bahamas. The Asians don't have a housing crisis. The Jamaicans don't have a housing crisis. The Chinese don't have a housing crisis. Only Bahamians.
So what does that mean?
I need you to help me with that. You're a little smarter than I am. I need you to help me with that.
Except you're the one making the definitive statements. I'm assuming you know exactly what you're talking about. You said the Haitians don't have a crisis.
No, they don't.
The Bahamians do a crisis. Okay, so...
Because the way that they would live, we Bahamians would live like that. We look at a host.
So I don't have... If I decide to live in a slum, and you say we Bahamians don't live like that, my brother.
No.
Let me explain to you. Hold on. No. Let me explain to you what I observed when I was a member of parliament, and I have observed in recent times. Okay? Bahamians living in a wooden home, and guess what is their stove? A tire rim. In the front room of the little wooden home with charcoal in the middle and a grill to cook on. I, Shivago Lang, observed that, okay? Bahamians living in dilapidated, see, Alan just talked about it, dilapidated abandoned buildings right here in Grand Bahama.
But Brother Lang, what I'm talking about, I am talking about a Bahamian home. When you have four or five people in that house, they believe that house is crowded. When them other people have eight, nine people in a house, they can live comfortably.
You didn't hear C. Allen speak just now. First of all, I personally know of people who live in homes where there are 9, 10, 11, 12. These Bahamians. Bahamians.
In Grand Mama?
No, in New Providence.
Wow.
I'm Grand Mama.
Boy, that's a rare.
Yeah, well, of course it's rare. It is as rare as a Haitian wanting to live in a slum because they choose to do so. They choose to do so. Not because they have to, but they choose to do so. You know what?
I could live in a nice apartment,
but I want to live in this little garbage right now. That's usual. Do you want me to tell you something?
But you can't take the country with that mentality.
No, that's nonsense, dog. That's nonsense. Let me tell you why that's nonsense. And it is a prejudicial nonsense. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because many people will tell you, people of Haitian descent, maybe some of them illegal, who come to Grand Bahama to live, where there are lots of apartments available, are living and renting apartments, sometimes on the side or in the midst of Bahamians.
Yeah, but we need to put them in that position to have to rent apartments. Once you put them in the position to have to rent apartments.
You Bahamians can't find housing in Nassau, you all are saying, and the Haitians can't, and now you wonder why the Haitians living where they living?
Let me tell you something, and I can go on this. The Haitians would rent an apartment from you. They come in with them and their two children. You give them about 2 years. Then they leave with their sure more than 10 of them living in there.
Let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. You remember back in the day when your parents and used to carry you over to Miami to go, and then your mommy and them used to tell you if they got 6, 7, 8 children, they used to tell you all stand over side their room and 6, 7 of you all sleep in one hotel room. They were Bahamians.
Yeah.
Why did you do it? Why did we do that?
That was feasible at the time.
No, because it was financially feasible to do so.
Yes. So why are you hating on people
who are doing what, and I'm not talking about illegal people now, because you catch an illegal, send them home. I'm with that. But people who are doing what they have to do in order to make life feasible for themselves. Bahamians are doing that too. Bahamians are doing that too. You. All I'm saying is you can't come on Z Live and make that kind of statement because I will not. In reality, it is not supportable.
Okay, well, I'm listening to you, but it is happening though.
No, I'm not saying what you're saying isn't happening, okay. But you are trying to ascribe it only to Haitians, and you're also suggesting that.
You are also suggesting
that if a Haitian could do better because it's in them to live terribly, that's how they will live. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'd call two other nationalities too, you know. But you also include the Haitians.
What other nationality you call?
The Jamaicans. The Chinese.
When you call them when I was rowing them.
No, I call the Jamaican and the Chinese also.
No, you said that's true. That is true. You did say the Chinese and the Jamaicans don't know. That's true.
Which Chinese you see?
but they will live in a poor housing like in quote the Haitians would?
No.
No, but they would just live a lot in a housing, right?
Plenty.
Okay, would a Jamaican live in a poor housing, like we say a Haitian would, or would they just, I don't even know, but Jamaicans living in abundantly in any place. I don't know that. I've never seen that.
Well, I'm aware of that.
Okay, I got you, bro.
I don't know if they come in and live like that, then as they make enough money, then they spread out. They go out.
I got you. But they might initially do that.
Yeah, but I can continue listening, man. I'm being educated by you every day, son.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. Yes, and you're right. You're right. You didn't just say Haitians.
Yeah.
But when you introduced the Haitians, Jamaicans, and the Chinese, you went to the Haitians, though.
No. I meant all.
But no, man. You start talking about the Haitians because you said that's inside of them.
95% of them live right upstairs.
Oh yeah. Above the store.
Don't care how much of them you see waking in that shop. 98% of them living right upstairs.
Well, I can tell you one thing, brother. You might know where they live, but the truth of the matter is, and I am 57 years old, and I lives.
Man, I live right on East Street, South here, and I see a Chinese. I didn't see him because I have a sighted man, but one of my friends was with me, said that. The Chinese fella get his T-shirt rolled up in his back pocket, walking with the kiddos in his hand, bareback.
You think he might be a Bahamian? You just calling him a Chinese because that's what they think he looks like?
No, man, he's a Chinese, man. That's Simon. He's a Chinese. Everybody knows
him. Okay. I got you, buddy. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. This says, even saying that you are not the age you are or go in the trunk at the drive-in. Man, this is you. Of course, that's us. You remember that. So no one chooses to live in the conditions of a shanty town. Like they say, let me go live in a shanty town because these apartments are too nice. And then say, I need a bigger shanty town. Oh, man. This text says, good conversation. Calling me. Have a point about the conditions of homes in Freeport. The exterior has been repaired, but the interior remains in shambles. About a housing crisis, though. Housing and home shortage availability may also depend on whether what is available is desirable and affordable. That is true. Always true. That's very true, actually. This text says, good afternoon, Chivago. C. Allen Johnson is spot on as it relates to housing on Grand Bahama, and it is going to become an even greater challenge soon. What is he spot on about? We talked about many things. Tell me what he's spot on about. Let me get this text here. This text is, Mr. Lang, I am from Freeport and I visit often enough to know that access to land affordability is not out of reach. If one has a job, they can work towards housing, unlike Nassau, where a basic home is out of reach just for the land, just on the land. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Bo from CIBC said we don't have a housing shortage. He said the banks has over thousands of houses repossessed by the banking industry in the Bahamas. We have an affordability problem. That is that, right? And I'm glad you put that in there. It's a personal financial crisis. That's really, I think, the crux of it, not all of it, but the crux of it, I think, Say, man, I have been trying to find where the Chinese live. The problem is not where they live because I believe they have the resources for housing. I want to know how they get home and to work with. The Chinese are very, I mean, I say this as a general rule, but Chinese people, when they come into a community, they assimilate well. They're not trying to cause any waves. They're not trying to make any fuss. When they provide building business opportunities, they try to provide for common needs of the people, and therefore people find them useful and valuable, and so they just kind of assimilate. Anyway, when we come back, we can leave house and we're going on inflation. Okay? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host, after this break.
Everybody!
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Chivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Inflation. That thing that has so many of us squirming because prices have gone up significantly and they won't go down. They just keep going up. And even though they the rate or pace at which they have been going up has declined, the prices have not declined. Go in the food store and see. There ain't no price going down. No. I mean, if there's a price that went down, I don't know it, but there might be, but I don't know it. Generally speaking, prices have gone up and they stayed up and they're going to stay up. They're going to be up there. Eggs. Lordy. The other day, eggs, you could have got a dozen eggs for this was weeks ago, for three something, then for five something. Now, a dozen eggs, if you're lucky, is $8.00. $8.00. If you are a business that uses eggs, dog, eat your lunch. Eggs. But here's the thing that I wanted to talk to you about, though. A lot of times when you hear us talk about it, we talk about it like it's a bacteria, right? Like, you know, there's these creatures, these microscopic animals, because a bacteria is an animal. A fungi is a plant. A bacteria is an animal, right? So these these invisible animals, they just start exploding over the place for one reason or the other. Maybe it's the heat. Maybe it's something else driving it. And, like, you just got to deal with it. We do, like, inflation is just this thing that happens. It's out there and it's just happening. And then you ask the question, okay, but why are things inflating? Why are they going up? And then, for instance, somebody says, the price of eggs are going up because of the avian flu in the United States of America. It's the avian flu in the United States of America. Well, the only place on planet Earth that people are importing chicken from and chicken eggs from is the United States of America. And the avian flu is in the United States of America, driving up the price of eggs everywhere in the world. And that's true. But okay, so let me give it to you. That's the avian flu. It's driving up the price of eggs. Well, what's driving up the price of all the other things? The avian flu? Or is it the cow flu? Is it the turkey flu? Is it the lamb flu? Or is it the shrimp flu? Because all those prices are going up too. Is it the avian flu? So you're asking, like, what is driving this inflation? And we often think of inflation like just as it happens. I was listening to a professor, and it prompted me to think through something that I didn't really consider it as much, even though I know it to be true, I know it to be the case, which is this. Prices don't just go up, bro. Prices don't just go up. The people who own the things that sell the things, they put the prices up. Inflation is a decision by the people who sell the things that they sell. Now, the only question you have to ask is, okay, so the people in the Bahamas buy from some people in the world, and plenty of times in the United States. The people in the United States make a lot of what they make, but they produce a lot of what they make elsewhere in the world, in particular China. Okay? 80% of Fortune 500 companies are in China. 80% or maybe 60%, let's say, let me be generous, of manufacturing for American businesses and other businesses are happening in China, Mexico. But these are companies owned by these American companies. So they are deciding, I need to raise the price of egg. I need to raise the price of furniture. I need to raise the price of food. I need to raise the price of this. The question, this isn't just inflation on them. Because before they raise their prices, so that you have a general rise in prices, the OPEC people with their oil, the Americans with their oil, and whoever else selling the oil. Before there is inflation, there is a decision by them and many of them to inflate. Why? You producing in China something. What is it in China that happened in China that you said, I now have to raise the prices of the stuff that I'm selling, producing in China? And all of a sudden, all over the world, we're inflating the prices. You say, well, it's the shippers. What made the shippers raise their prices? What made the shippers raise their prices? Or they said the fuel went up. What made the fuel people raise their prices? So let me tell you something. There can be logistical things that create chances that might require a business to raise prices. But let me tell you something, what I firmly believe, that sometimes inflation is driven by a herd mentality that says, you know what, while this wagon is moving, I better get on and do. But to be honest, sometimes you have to raise prices because, especially us in the Bahamas, we price takers. Okay? Whatever the reason, if there's some scheme to raise prices in the world, if there's some plot, if there's some malicious intent, if there is some genuine logistical reason, at the end of the day, we can't do anything about it. We are price takers. We do not set prices in the Bahamas. We import 90% plus of what we consume, and we do not set the base price now. You could have at home a scenario in which the price raising goes beyond, and sometimes, you know, that's a decision being made by business people that they make. Other times they don't have a choice, but we are price takers in the Bahamas. But to be sure, what I'm saying to you is inflation is a choice that business people all across the globe are making to raise prices that impact you and I. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Mr. Lane.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, this is Biazan Johnson, Seattle Johnson's twin brother.
Hey, what's up?
I caught part of the conversation in the midst of his conversation. One of the big issues is the word. I haven't seen the article in the paper, but I speak to you here, on here, and on Grand Bahama. I mean, here on Grand Bahama and in Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
Here on Grand Bahama, the issue is affordable housing.
Right, okay.
And there is a point of being a shortage of housing, even for rental. Now, I'm not going to speak about home ownership because that's another issue. I'm in the rented market, so I'm very familiar with it. What happens is that there, because of the expatriate population on the island, and I'm not speaking of Haitians, I'm speaking of those at the shipyard and other places, and who are in town also for
that is true.
For
the development
of these. The housing is no longer available within the range that the people have. And because the demand is there, the people can now raise the prices. That puts a lot of people out of their range.
By the way, sorry, just to make your point, it's not even only foreigners, because there are also Bahamians from other islands that have come to take advantage of opportunities in Freeport. Those for home housing is being provided that are also taking up some of the housing. I know that to be true.
Yes, that's here and in Abaco. In other words, that's where the shortage comes in. You can find the housing, but it's out of the price range that many are capable of paying based on their wages. Those who are here permanently, those who came in were presented with an opportunity to make a few more dollars. So renting the house at that cost is not a big issue. Now, we do have those who have been here. I have several units, like duplexes. Hopefully the Port Authority don't track me down, that we have converted to duplexes into fourplexes and then rent all-inclusive bills, all light bills, everything paid. And it's the only way it can become affordable. What is needed on Grand Bahama is legislation, or made a Port Authority can look at it, to do something called extended dwelling units or auxiliary dwelling units to allow some of the larger units that the person cannot afford to be broken down into smaller units. Like, in other words, the four-bedroom apartment, it should be able to be split. Yes, it's designed as a duplex, but maybe they can give consideration to turn it into a fourplex. You understand?
Same thing.
You were saying something?
No. I said I understand. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you understand? Because we do, like, majority of who I rent to is basically single mothers who are trying pretty hard. You know, their income at many of the places does not suffice the going rate. So you have to try do something for them. So we have to look at holistically at Grand Bahama and say, hey, we have to develop some sort of social housing that allow for people with larger homes that know, like, for example, I was in a 5-bedroom. I no longer have a need for 5 bedrooms, only 3 that I need. I can easily convert 2 of them into an additional unit, but my area that I live in is a single family. But I should be able to turn that into an auxiliary dwelling and offer that at a comparable price, and would eliminate, not a lot, but a lot of people can eliminate a lot of the housing demands that's there, and allow these people who, you know, they'll get additional revenues and help them upkeep their home or upkeep their area. It's something to be considered, you know, in the long term.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the article should say there's an affordable housing crisis in the Bahamas.
Yeah. And that's I appreciate that. I think that's a very, very helpful contribution. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. See, Alan say, I have my eggs on layaway. Just 3 more payments tonight. boy. This text say they doing us in. Someone send me their egg. They buy some, extra large eggs. $13+. I know. But that's for the dozen and a half, though. That's a dozen and a half. So that translates to about $9.07 per dozen. So inflation isn't some disease that comes to us from outer space. The inflation is the consequence of multiple sets of owners, managers, making decisions across the spectrum of prices of products and services to raise prices. Now, for whatever the reason, it could be quite legitimate, but it could be quite illegitimate. The fact is that we don't get to have a say for the most part in that we bring these things into the country. And then people say, well, why don't we make more of our own stuff? Well, you could do that, but I don't think that will take care of your inflation problem in terms of the cost of things, because your small scale will itself provide a higher per unit cost and therefore cause you to charge a higher per unit cost than many of the imports you bring in, which can be imported for less than you would produce it. But I still agree that we should produce more, because in not producing more, we can secure ourselves in terms of crisis situations. And that can only happen, though, if you are not importing inputs. If your inputs are being imported from other places and they run into crisis, well, you will run into crisis producing your stuff too. So you can't look at yourself in isolation unless you've been totally self-sufficient about everything, including your energy. It's hard to be able to say, oh, we just have to. That's just simplistic thinking. This text says, in Canada, young single people live in groups. Yeah, you don't see that. It's very young. Instead of growing up and saving money first. All over the world, people are doing conservative, innovative things to try to get by the prices. I mean, but some of those are creating challenges as well. You know, they have in China, I think they call them matchbox housing. They have these funny, I've been watching them on documentaries. They have these funny names. You should see the way the people are living. And some of these people, you should see where they came from in life. These were not just nobodies, or people might think, people who just kind of like bought drugs or all that kind of stuff. Some of these people have had substantive lives, end up living in these little cells, like little cubby holes, and they've been living there for years and years and years in these apartment complexes. They can't even stand up in the place. They could only lay down in the place, and they got television jam up in there. They got clothes jam up in there and so forth and so forth. And so all across the world, we are running into issues of demand outstripping supply, of prices outstripping affordability. And inflation is making it worse. Now, let me tell you all something. So I said inflation is driven by choices. Before he was elected, President Donald Trump said that immigration and inflation were his priorities. Remember, he went on television showing you how much bacon costs? How much egg costs? And this cost and the next thing cost. And oh, people was like, They asked Mr. Trump the other day after, as he's running up and down, doing all this immigration stuff, what about inflation? Mr. Trump said inflation is not his priority. Who's raised prices? Who raised this crisis? The rich, the owners, right? The owners, they don't all have to be. I'm not talking about small, medium-sized businesses now. I'm talking about the big businesses where people importing billions and millions and billions of dollars worth of stuff. The rich, see, big-time owners. Inflation is not my priority. Why? Because if I try to keep inflation under wraps, if I can, America, and I'm president, I have to keep the rich owners under wrap. The oil manufacturers of this and the big time manufacturers of that. I have to let them be able to go and set up more shops in cheaper districts and cheaper places in the world where they can bring down the cost. I'm not doing that. Inflation is not my priority. Because inflation are choices to raise prices being made in many instances by the global mega businesses of the world. Why should people with diabetes and them be able to get cheap insulin? No, I'm not going to let, I'm revoking that situation that Biden gone and done so that my rich fans, the rich businesses, big pharma, could go and raise their prices. Inflation is a choice made by owners of products and services. If enough of them generally, then you get a general rise in prices that we call inflation. And now, the President of the United States of America is putting tariffs on this country's products, that country's products. Well, what does that have to do with us, Chicago? Well, where are you buying your stuff from? America, what do you think paying the tariffs? Americans, and if the Americans pay the tariffs and it raises the price of the stuff they're importing and you buying the stuff from them, what do you think is going to happen to your prices? Your prices are going to increase too because Americans are buying, paying the Trump's tariffs, making the products that they bring in more expensive. And if they sell those products to you, those products are going to be more expensive. Talk about inflation-driven driving factors. And I'm not blaming him. I'm not criticizing him. I'm telling you what the reality of the economics of the situation is. If you thought inflation was under arrest, think again. It may have a new impetus. It may have a new impetus coming up soon. Because President of the United States said inflation is not his priority. Now, it is possible that it could be the Fed's priority because any sensible Fed understands that inflation is a problem for purchasing power of people. And so they may want to do something about it. But the truth of the matter is, the Fed chairman is appointed by the president. And if the president ain't on board, well, got a new board, a board that works with the president. So we may not be able to save ourselves there. The truth of the matter is, as what's the gentleman who owns the Dallas Mavericks? Paul, what's his name again? Billionaire, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, man. What's his name? Escapes me right now. Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban has demonstrated by a company he created that many pieces of medication that people are buying for thousands and thousands of dollars, he and his partners have been able to put on the market for hundreds, if not less. And he said he got into the business because he had a friend who was paying thousands and thousands of dollars a month for a piece of medication that didn't have to cost that much. And the truth of the matter is there are things that can be done in America and elsewhere to bring down the cost of things that private interests merged with political interests is not interested to do. Cheaper electric cars. Do you know they have better and cheaper electric cars produced by China, sold in Europe, that you ain't gonna get in America because Trump and Biden put South America, the price is almost doubled by the time it gets there. And the companies that you hear about who produce them, you won't even hear about. Why? Because they ain't American. They're not American affiliated stuff. And you know us, we only know the stuff that affiliated in America. That's all we know. And we hop on board with many of the same people who talk about all the other people doing things. So stuff made in China ain't no good. Stuff made in Africa ain't no good. Stuff made in South America ain't no good. They have to be made in or by America in order for it to be good. And we buy into that a lot of times too. And so we'll never hear about many, listen to me. Let me get personal. Y'all don't judge me, man. I traveled to Europe. You remember when I was doing WTO for y'all? I traveled to Europe and I can tell you, don't lie, man, I had some terrible hemorrhoids. This is a medical fact. It don't matter to me, man. Terrible. I mean, it was really bad. And I was using products that I had bought in the United States. You know, preparation H and all this kind of stuff, right? I was using them. I mean, but it was really bad. I walked into a little small pharmacy by my hotel, a little small pharmacy. This was in Switzerland, a little small pharmacy. And I asked the pharmacist, I told the pharmacist what the issue is, and I asked them if they had any product that could help. They gave me a little off the counter, not a prescription, off the counter pink tube. Let me tell you something. Man, listen, like night and day. Night and day. But truth be told, many of people who are from places in the world, like the Bahamas, America, when they go to Europe, they know that they can seize on some products that are multiple times better. Never heard of in this part of the world. Because we don't do them. We just do U.S., quality is better, the potency is better, the results are better. Right? And so, inflation, we'll take us generally, but my thing is, we need to get on board and do some things our own selves, not in terms of producing ourselves. We just need to be smarter and try to get out of this vortex of greed, particularly by outsiders in the world. Those who, and other little small countries like us. We need to get out of that vortex of greed and try to play with the people who believe in fairness, man. Because inflation is seeing its last days with us if we're not careful, folks. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
you try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bonus. You can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady run into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Of course, from the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. So true. That's the saying. I remember as a kid, we had better medication from the UK and other countries, my personal opinion. That's actually a view shared by many. The quality of the stuff, you know? And then the relative expense of it is something else, right? Somebody sent me something about Mr. Trump now deciding to take on interest rates, which is the purview of the feds. Just like interest rates. In terms of what in the United States is called the Fed rate, in the Bahamas is called a discount rate, right? Which is the rate that the central bank sets for its transaction between banks, between it and the banks, and that then sets the rate on all the other rates that the banks charges, because they charge on top of that rate. But the government of the Bahamas can't do anything about that. Mr. Davis could meet with the central bank governor and say, you know, why don't you do something about the interest rates? He could say that, and the central bank governor say, well, thank you, I appreciate your offering that suggestion, and walk away and don't do nothing about it. Ain't nothing Mr. Davis could do, because it's not because the purview under by law of rates in the Bahamas, that particular rate is the central bank, and in the United States of America is the Fed. Now, the only way Mr. Trump could do anything about that is he would have to get the Congress to move to disband the Fed or change the way it operates by law, and then he could do something about it. But other than that, his talking, like talk, might cause something to happen in the marketplace or something like that. But if the market understands what its powers are, it means nothing. And I can tell you all something. I believe Mr. Trump will learn this. I believe he will learn it, not just in terms of the law, that checks him. I think he will learn this in terms of his own conflicts of interest. So if you are somebody who's heavily indebted, as Mr. Trump is, personally heavily indebted, he owes lots of millions of dollars, you have a very keen interest in lowering interest rates. True or not true? Of course you do. Because the lower the interest rates are, the less you have to pay on the loans you have. All right? So he has a very strong, he could have a very strong interest in lowering interest rates. But guess what? The problem is the rich people that supported him, and some that didn't, they are the ones who are charging the interest rates. So they don't have an interest in lowering the interest rates because then they lose money. See, every financial transaction has two sides of the ledger. There's always someone who getting and always somebody who giving, always somebody who winning and always somebody who well, you might perceive as losing. Right? There's two sides of the ledger. When interest rates go down, that's not good for insurance companies that have to, and pension funds and the like, who are lending monies to people who get revenues from these monies that they lend and so forth. That's not good for them. It may be good for a consumer, but the consumers may vote for you campaigns. You know, when you release the Kraken could do all kinds of damage, that's for sure. Or, you know, have its way. But be sure, there's an antidote even for the Kraken. Right? And in a democracy, that antidote sometimes is the courts, sometimes it's the Congress, sometimes it's the people. Sometimes it's the Chamber of Commerce. I'm observing the actions of the president, the newly elected president of the United States of America. And in some instances, it is worrisome. From an economic point of view, it is worrisome. From a social point of view, it is worrisome. President of the United States, as he has the right to do, will send Coast Guards, beef up Coast Guard presence between the United States and the Bahamas. What does that mean? That means that if you are a illegal trying to get to the United States of America through the Bahamas, you will have a more difficult time if the Coast Guard presence is increased between the Bahamas and the United States of America. The Minister of National Security says that that may free them up to be able to put resources elsewhere, like maybe on the southern border. I mean, like, true, but seriously, the southern is so porous that even an increase will make a marginal difference, if any difference at all, in that way. But what will happen is this. If you are trying to get to America, that's your destination, and you have a difficult time now because of what the Americans do. What does that mean? That means that the Bahamas as a final destination becomes that much more attractive to you. So you have that consequence. And the Bahamas does not have a significant enough resources to, in shifting them away from the barrier between the Bahamas and the United States of America, to make that big of a difference on the southern border where many of these illegals come from. And in any event, the American barrier isn't interested in where you go once you come into the United States of America, you know. They're not interested. So you see them, you turn around. And now we've shifted our resources to the southern border. So you turn around. You think the Americans are concerned about where you land in Grand Bahama, Bimini, Abaco? You think that's their concern? They can, hey, Bahamas, we see some people turn around and they're heading your direction. Well, but you all the way in the southern border. What you can do now? We live in an integrated world, man. The decisions of others have meaning for you. Your decisions tend to have little meaning for them. Or there are decisions you could make that could have big meaning for them. Good. But generally speaking, you ain't gonna do it. This text says, my son got a year's supply of medication for less than the cost of a month's supply in Asia. Same medicine. No, no question about it, man. No question about it. Listen to me. There are some folks in the world whose greed is causing people life. Okay? There's no question about that. Greed is causing some people their very existence on this planet. Greed is causing some people their very quality of life on this planet. Greed is driving some people into poverty. It's a fact. Absolute fact. Sheer greed. And when you see the greedy have an alliance with the powerful, oh God, help us. You have a call on the line, go ahead, caller, we'll listen to you.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Mr. Lang?
I'm right here, my friend. What's going on?
Great, thanks. The point you made about the border and us shifting resources from one point because the Americans have that covered is kind of an interesting one, because that would imply that the American is looking out for our interests, which I don't see that to be the case.
I don't see how you could draw that conclusion from what I said. I am agreeing with you. They are not looking for your interest. What they are doing is
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just stating my opinion.
Hold on, bro. I just listened to you.
Mm-hmm.
I just listened to you seemingly contradicted something that I said that you and I agreed on. I am not saying America's looking out for you. I think they are very much only interested in themselves. That's why I said, when the people get there where they have their Coast Guard and turn around, the Americans aren't interested in whether they go back to the Bahamas or not. Yes, just don't come to America.
I agree with you. I'm sorry if you got the impression that I was disagreeing. I was simply reiterating or stating it from my point of view that it could be even more so that, I mean, because we complain about guns coming from the U.S. And so now if we divert our attention from that area, I mean, the problem on that end could even worsen. Right, because I don't think they're going to be checking their people coming out and say, "Hey, let me see what you guys are taking to the Bahamas." So
that's a good point.
It could exacerbate the problem.
That's a great point. That's a great point, actually.
Yes, sir.
That's a good point.
It really doesn't. They are protecting their border, and so I mean, we really need the resources and the mindset to think about our security and not that Big Brother is looking out for us.
Right, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your calling. Yeah, this text says inflation is caused by the Trumps of this world. It will continue to rise because it's there in their interest. As long as buyers show the capacity to bear the price rise, then it will continue to rise. On another note, you don't see where Chinese live, because if you don't think about it, they mainly live in their business establishment. They are very financially smart people. By the way, they are slowly and quietly taking over the properties in the inner city. Okay. We got to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen, and then when we come back, we will continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make a free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey, Uncle Pat, where you going?
I going by Mae's Pancake Place.
You're not going for pancakes 7 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah, that is close 8, but I ain't only getting pancake. Junior want a mango barbecue burger. Nadia want a honey garlic wings and fries. Justin want chicken and waffles. And Rami want that famous batch in rice.
Should I sell all that?
And more. In fact, Sunday gone, we had steam oxtail, crab and rice, and coleslaw with ice cream and snow cone for dessert.
I go on the Nays with you.
Well, let's go then.
I'm coming now.
Nays Pancake Place, serving breakfast all day, lunch and dinner too. Located behind Sunshine Laundromat, next to the fire station on Settlers Way. Call 351-5456 to place your order today. That's Nays Pancake Place. Pancake Place.
I'm coming now.
Along come a Bohemian mountain on his plate. He act like he never eat before. Okay, macaroni and cheese.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. Guess what? I want y'all to know Mae's Pancake Place had its first NASA order. Someone sent an order with some friends who were in Grand Bahama and ordered from there. He said, oh, man, that's something. So this text says, the USA Coast Guard is there to protect the USA's interests, not the Bahamas. Who will patrol and protect from illegal immigrants and poaching? That's what their job is, to protect America's interests. So I got stopped one time inland and customs crossing on the way back from the USA via yachts, and that was because they were looking for a stolen vessel. I had a tender to tow. Yeah. So, see, that text, the caller who called the last time made it great, because it's not just, we keep thinking only about issues at the southern border, but what he was saying was, no, you got Americans coming over to the Bahamas, they could be bringing things illegal, and your vigilance has to be able to catch them, not the Americans. Americans aren't going to be asking, where were you going? To the Bahamas, what you got? They're not going to do that, right? So that's a great point. Housing, Mr. Trump. I would be lying if I told you all that I have genuine concerns about how things will evolve in America over the next 4 years. However, even though it seemed shaky at times, the American checks and balance system worked. It is robust. even though the American democracy seemed fragile at times, it has shown a capacity to endure ever increasing pressures would internally challenge its boundaries. And even though the American citizenship seems unhinged at times, the American checks and balance system seems to be up to the task of protecting America and protecting the patience of its democracy. There is no question in my mind that Mr. Trump has and will test the boundaries of the limits of the power of the presidency of the United States of America. No question about it. And has more leverage to test those boundaries today than perhaps at any other time, given not merely that the Republican control, but given what appears to be in far too many of those who occupy those chambers, a sycophantic, it's like a fear of this particular presidency and president to be able to indulge those instincts to press the boundaries of power. Even though that is true, I still believe that in the end, that American democratic experience will endure. If not for that really modest hope, I would be scared to death for the world. I really would. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Brother Lai. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, my friend?
Yeah, they're busy doing. They doing some little thing around the place. I was trying to get in. I was in and out of the conversation, right? Well, I mm-hmm. agree with everything, like what you were saying, right? And some of the callers, right? But for me, you know, the 60-year-old man, you know, at least, you know, I mean, we see what Trump stands for. Some things are good and some are not so good. But for me as a Bohemian, like the caller said, we should pay attention at home, right? But the great problem for me, you know, let's say with the advent of all these technologies,
anyone who only watches his front porch and not cause a concern for his neighbors is living in a
fantasy world. I don't have any concern. I was not verbatim. Like, you know, I don't say not because that's kind of selfish, of course, right? And there wouldn't be no exchange of ideas and cultures and concepts, right?
Well, not even that.
I know better than that. But what I'm saying is for me.
Not only that, you should do it because there are risks associated with what other people do around you.
Yeah, but don't forget, they had a scare the other day with the pandemic, with travel and all that. But Mr. Lang, I want to get this in because I'm saying what's very disturbing for me, right? As it relates to the whole immigration issue. The fact that there's no real effort post-arrival, et cetera, but you're trying to tell me now they can't use technology to impede migration, right? Which interfaces with drug smuggling, human trafficking, just gun running, all of that, right? So what happens for me, what is sickening for me, is the efforts made by governments post-arrival here in our country. So we know we have a migrant crisis, housing crisis, et cetera, but what the government is doing after migrants have arrived in order to, you know, like, well, let's say they apprehend them then. But from when they reach, they save them. So that, for me, that is really imbecilic for me. I'm sorry. I'm not seeing no effort to really like, you know, like how the ice picking up the people. Some of these guys are criminals. They're whatever. So, I mean, I just thought that that's really bothering me. They just, the people reach, they're here, and you're seeing them, and nobody's picking them up. They give no account to anybody. They come in, they go through the system. Next thing they have,
let me ask you. We gotta go. Do you ever go to the detention center? Ain't nobody in the detention center. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.